Okay. Shkoyach to Ali. Shkoyach to Ali for sponsoring tonight's learning in memory of his father, Shlomo Ben Elio, Reb Tami Sharp, who many of us knew very well, one of the founders of our Beis Medrash, continues to be one of the models to which we look to for inspiration and motivation, and his memory should be Melitz Yosef for the entire Mishpacha, and he should have an Ali and Gan Eden Shomayla. We're over here, three lines from the top of Lama Vavim Abeis, continuing or, again, further discussing a statement that we had earlier on Lama Vavim Ad Aleph. Again, I warned you, in ancient Ella In Kem Azirin, that this caper bush was going to be a large topic of discussion. So just to remind ourselves, the caper bush has a number of parts to it. There's the caper berries, which grow inside of a shell or some sort of encasing. The caper fruit is called the avionis, that's the caper berry. The kafrisin is the shell around it. But then there are other buds that are part of the tree. I noticed in just researching again the caper bush for the... I've done so a few times, but now I'm learning more and more about it. But these berries or these buds are a separate fruit unto themselves. And then there's the berries that are inside of this little sack. So you have all these different things to contend with. But besides all of those parts of the caper bush, which we've already discussed, the Gemara said on Lama Vavim Ad Aleph, and that's what we're going to continue discussing over here on the Yom Beis, is a statement of Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Rav, you will back Lama Vavim Ad Aleph at the two dots towards the bottom of the page, about two-thirds of the way down. Rav Yehuda Mar Rav says, Slav shol arla b'chutz la'aretz, zarek es avionis v'yichos ha-kafrisin. The only fruit that you have to be concerned about on this tzlaf bush or tree with regards to arla, again, the first 3 years in the life of the tree or the bush, the fruit remains prohibited. The only fruit here that one has to be concerned about is the avionis. The kafrisin, that case around the caper berry, and certainly the buds, are not considered to be the fruit at all and would not be subject to arla. So the Gemara asks, and that's because it's following the view of Rabbi Kiva. We had a whole machlokes about it in a discussion. What is the fruit of the caper bush? And at least for now, we're going to assume, like Rabbi Kiva, that the only fruit on this caper bush that's considered to be the primary fruit is, with regards to arla, is the caper berry that comes inside of this shell called the kafrisin. So the Gemara asks, though, on the third line of Lama Vavim Abeis, v'tepikle denase shoyma lepri. Even if the encasing around the caper berry is not the kafrisin, is not the main objective on planting the caper bush, it's a secondary kind of fruit, and independently would not be subject to arla. It should be subject to arla because it is the casing around the primary fruit. It's a shoyma lepri. It's a peel or a casing, a protective layer around the fruit. V'rachmano amar, and the Torah says, in Parshas Kedoshim, v'araltem arlosoi es pirioi, in the context of the mitzvah of arla, es pirioi, and the fruit. What is the es coming to include? Es hametafel pirioi. That comes to include that which is negligible to the fruit, which is the casing, the shell around the fruit. My nihu shomer lepri. So the Gemara's question, which we're going to be concerned about, is, well, why isn't this kafrisin subject to arla? Because it's the casing around the fruit. It's a shomer lepri and tuffel to the pri. We have exeris hakasa that comes to include the shomer lepri, es perio, es a tuffel de perio. So the Gemara is going to give three attempts to explain why this is not subject to arla. And even though a casing, a shell around the fruit, is including the fruit with regards to arla, this case of the casing around the caper berry does not qualify as a shayma lepri that would be subject to arla. So Amar Rava, heichi amina denasa shayma lepri, heichi the isay bein betolosh ubein b'mechuber. The only time shayma lepri is subject to arla is when the shell remains while it is attached to the tree or the bush, even after it's detached, as opposed to this kafrisin, which falls off after the is removed after the pre falls off of the caper bush. So hakabim mechuber ise betalush lese. After it becomes detached from the tree, the caper casing around the caper berry falls off. That's why it's not a shema lepri that would be subject to arla. The only shema lepri that would be subject to arla is if it's on, attached to the fruit while it's on the tree, and even after it falls off the tree. Eizve abaye. Abaye, yes, is that really the case? Pitma sharimon mitzarefes. Here now the Gemara switches and pivots to discussing tumas oichlim. In order for food to accept tumma, it has to be the size of a kibetza. So what is included in this measurement, calculation of whether or not there's a kibetza here when measuring the fruit? The fruit itself is obviously part of the kibetza calculation, but what about the other parts of the fruit? That which is the secondary. So pitma shariman. The pitma shariman is the crown on the rimon. Everyone knows on the top of a pomegranate, there's like this little stem, and then it kind of breaks off into kind of these spikes. that look like a crown. Inside of that stem, you might not be aware of, because most of the times we see a rima and it's already fallen off from the tree, but inside of that are like these kind of hairy strings that stick out. So you have really three parts here. There's the whole protrusion, in its entirety, the base of the crown. You have these kind of spikes that are at the top of the crown, and then you have these little hairs that are inside of it. So the Gemara says, "Pitma shal rimon," the crown in its entirety, meaning that stem, it's tarefes. That's certainly part of the fruit. Vaneid shaloi, what about those strings that are inside of the crown? Ein mitzdarif, the flower, I guess you could call it. That's not part of the shear of kibetza when measuring the rimon. Mitakamar haneid shaloi ein mitzdarif, from the fact that the flower that's part of the crown is not included in the calculation of kibetza. Alma the lav oikohu, you see that it's not considered to be a fruit. It's not food. Vitani gabi arla, but yet now again we're switching back to arla. Klipe rimon vahaneid shaloi the shell of the pomegranate, as well as the entire crown, including those little strings that are inside of the crown, klipe agoizim v'garinim, or the seeds of nuts, klipe agoizim, the shells of the nuts, v'hagarinim, and the seeds, chayavim ba'arla, all of these items are included in the prohibition of arla. So even though these strings fall off when the fruit falls off the tree. That's why you've never seen them. Most of the times we still see that little crown that's there, sometimes even with the spikes, but those little strings, the flower that's inside of it, you don't see. It falls off after it falls off from the tree. But nonetheless, even though it falls off after, it's detached from the tree, it's subject to arla. So you see the first definition the Rava had. The only time a shema lepri is subject to arla is if it remains while it's on the fruit, while the fruit is on the tree. And even if it's detached from the tree, here, this is detached from the tree, and it falls off after it's detached from the tree. Nonetheless, it's included in the Shoyma Lepri and included in Arla. Ela Marava, Heke Amin, the Nasalu Shoyma Lepri, Heke the Ise Bishaz, Gemara Peira, when it's there at the time that the fruit is finished growing. High Kafres, this shell around the caper berry, Leise Bishaz, Gemara Peira. It's only there at the beginning when the caper berries are growing. When the caper berries finish growing, it falls off or it's absent. Aini, Vamar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Hani, Mitrasi, the Arla. There are certain dates of arla, asiri, hov, and isu shayma lepri. There's a shell around dates. I tried to research this. I wasn't able to find any kind of a shell that goes around the dates. But the shell that's around the date is also shabik to arla because it's considered to be the shayma lepri. V'shayma lepri, amos havi, but when is it there? Bekufra. It's only there when it's young. And later on, it falls off. So if the second explanation of Rava was that it's only considered to be a shayma lepri that's subject to arla, if it's there when the fruit is young, as well as when it becomes mature, this is only there when it's young. Because kari lahu shayma lepri, and nonetheless the shayma lepri that's subject to arla, huh?
What's the context of talking?
No, it's also talking about arla. Also talking about arla. Rav Nachman, Sabalak Rav Yaisi, the Gemara says, no. That statement, Rav Nachman, is following an opinion in Tanam that we don't accept. That's like Rav Yaisi. Rav Yaisi thinks that even when the fruit is young, it's still considered to be a fruit. Tisnan, Rav Yaisi, Yomer, Smadar, Osir, that the young grapes grow in three stages. Small grapes are called the Smadar. Boiser is when it's a little bit bigger, and when it's fully mature, I guess it would be called an anav, right? It would be called a grape. So smadar osir, the young fruits are subject to arla, mimnei shehu pri. It's considered to be a fruit. But the Rabbanan disagree. They hold such an immature fruit, such a young fruit, is not considered to be a fruit. A pligi Rabbanan,
is it totally the fact that it's not edible or not?
No, it was edible to some, but it wasn't what people had in mind when they were growing the grapes. So Gemara here says, it's true, the husk around the date, even is only there when it's young, but it's still considered to be a shayma lepri. That's only following Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds young fruits are still considered to be fruits. So maskever simi mina ardoyu b'shari lani mi plugi rabbanon olay. It's true the rabbanon hold that young grapes are not considered to be grapes. It's not considered to be a fruit. But with regards to dates and other things, even if it's only there when it's young, the shayma lepri is considered to be a shayma lepri, and the same would be true for other fruits as well. Even if it later falls off, hatanan me'emasai and koytsen hilonos. Now again, here we're pivoting to another halacha with regards to shvius. You're not allowed to destroy peiros shvius. The pasuk says in Parashas Behar, v'hoytsa Shabbos ha'oris lachem la'achla. The year of Shemitah should be a restful year, and you should eat the fruits of the land. So the Gemara comments, "Va'achla v'loy lehefsed." You should eat it. You're not supposed to destroy it. So Beishamay Oimim. So the Gemara asks, when does the fruit tree become, subject to this prohibition of la'achla v'loy lehefsed, such that you can't destroy a fruit tree during the seventh year? So Beishamay Oimim, kol yilanos mishi yotziu. All the trees, from once it starts producing fruit, you can't destroy them. It's peiros shvius. Beis Hillel, Aymrim, no, and it's only at a later stage. Hacharuvin, a boxer, Misha Yisharshu, when it becomes like a chain, meaning when it grows in a cluster. Hagafanim, Misha Yigru, grapes, Misha Yigru, which we'll define in a second. Vazesim, Misha Yanitsu. Olive trees are ready for when it starts flowering, it's a fruit tree and you can't destroy it. Vishar Koilonos, but even over the other trees, the minute it produces a fruit, it's already a fruit. And you can't destroy it. It's subject to the prohibition of destroying perishvias. V'amar Abasi, who boiser, who garua, who po. What is the garua? Grapes from the time they become a garua is already a fruit. You can't destroy it because of perishvias. That's boiser. Again, that's one size bigger. The grapes, the smallest is the smadar, then the boiser, then the full size grape. So this opinion, Beis Hillel holds. That it only becomes perishvias, you're not allowed to destroy it once it reaches the size of a boiser. And how big is that? Who po eleven? It's a white bean. Po eleven sakadaitach. What do you think? A grape is a white bean. Grapes and white beans are two different things. Ema shiuro kapo eleven. What is the shear of the grape that already becomes prohibited when it's the size of a white bean? Man shamas le da'amar boiser in smadalo. Who's the one who holds when it's a medium-sized grape, it's a fruit? When it's a small-sized grape, it's not a fruit? Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi holds even when it's a small little fruit, it's a fruit. The Rabbanan holds, no, it has to be a little bit bigger. But yet the Rabbanan are the ones who say, like Beis Hillel said in that Mishnah, all other fruit trees, only with regards to grapes, all other fruit trees, the minute that it produces a fruit, it's a fruit. V'katani shara koilonis misha yoytziu. The minute it produces a fruit, it's a fruit. And therefore, if it has a shema lepri, even if it's only there in its immature state, when it's small, that should be a shema lepri that's subject to arla. So elam arava. Therefore, Rava concludes: when is a shema lepri subject to arla? When is a peel of the fruit subject to arla? Hecha amina davi shema lepri. Hecha the kishar kaltele v'shema mayas peira. If when you remove the peel, the fruit dies, it dries up, then it's a shema lepri that's subject to arla. Hacha, here when you remove the casing around the caper berry, kishakatale loy mayas pera, the fruit remains intact. You could remove this casing around the caper berry and the fruit will be fine. Therefore, it's not subject to the halacha of arla by virtue of the rule of shema lepri. And the Gemara tells the story, Hava uvda v'shaklu linates, they remove the crown on the top of the rimon, v'yavish rimona, the rimon dried up, v'shaklu l'parcha, the bitise, and they removed the casing around the caper berry, v'kayim bitisa, and the caper berry was fine. So again, just to sum up, what happened was, the Gemara said, we began with the statement of Rehuda Marav on the previous Amud, that the only part of the caper berry that's subject to arla is the primary fruit, which is the caper berry itself. The buds or the shell that goes around it, the kafrisa, not subject to arla. Ask the Gemara, I understand it's not the main fruit, and therefore it's not subject to arla, but isn't it a shomer lepri? And arla relates not only to the primary fruit itself, but even to a casing that encircles it, that surrounds it, that protects it. So Gemara made three attempts to explain why this is not included in the law of arla by virtue of the law of shomer lepri. Either the Gemara suggested because it's only on the fruit while it's attached to the tree. After it becomes detached from the tree, the husk falls off. Or maybe it's because it's only there when the fruit is young. It's not there when the fruit matures. But the way the Gemara concludes is that a shomer lepri is only considered to be part of the pri as if it's necessary in order to preserve the fruit. If you could remove the shomer lepri and the fruit will be fine, it's not included as part of the fruit. And therefore not subject to arla by virtue of the rule of shomer lepri. And that's how the Gemara concludes. That's how the Gemara concludes. Huh?
The rimonim, we take what that thing is.
It will dry up. Sure, it'll dry up. Yeah.
But the din of shomer that applies here also applied to tumah, where we say a shomer for tumah.
The Gemara brought that up. It's mitzvah to tumah seichlin, yeah.
It is?
Yeah. So, in the course of this discussion, the Gemara cited, mentioned that the seeds, where is this? Gemara was talking about a brayse. V'tani gabi arla, klipe rimon, the shell of the rimon, v'haneis shaloi, and its crown, klipe agoizim, the shell around nuts, v'hagarinim, and seeds, chayavim ba'arla. They're included in arla. So the seeds are considered to be subject to arla. Taisus writes, since the seeds are included with regards to arla, the seeds are part of the fruit with regards to brachas too. So look at the top Taisus. Taisus says, klipe agoizim, v'garinim, chayavim ba'arla, depeirininu, that's considered to be part of the fruit. So it says Taisus mikan sheish levarich al garinim shel gudganios vigarine afrasakin. I know afrasakin are apricots. I'm not sure what gudganios are. Vishel tapuchim and apples. Oh, one is apricots, one is peaches. Afrasakin are peaches. Yeah. Vichol mine garinim shel peiros boyer priya eight. So what's the bracha on seeds? The bracha should be Bari Priya Eitz. Now, you'll ask, a peach pit you can't eat? I think that's a shell that goes around the seed. Inside of it is a seed. I think they say it's unhealthy to eat, that there's cyanide in the seed. Some people tell me they eat apple pit.
Apple seeds are cyanide.
Cyanide. All the seeds have a little cyanide. So I don't know how healthy it is to eat it, but inside of that there is a seed that you can eat. And what would the bracha be? The bracha would be Bari Priya Eitz. That's the opinion of Tosis. That's considered to be part of the fruit. The Rashba and the Chidushim over here and Brachas disagrees with Tosis. And he says, no, there's no Bari Priya Eitz on the seed. Why are seeds subject to Arla? That's because of that old rule the Gemara cited with regards to the peel, with regards to the shell. The Gemara said, commenting on the Pasuk, V'arraltem Arlosoi es piriyai, es the rabbis, es a tofel of piriyai, that which is negligible to the fruit, which includes Shema Lepri, the shell. Says the Rashba, that was also the reason why seeds are subject to Arla. Not because it's part of the fruit, it's secondary to the fruit. So therefore, says the Rashba, this halacha with regards to Arla wouldn't carry over with regards to brachas. The bracha on seeds of the fruit would certainly not be the same as the fruit. Would not be Bari Priya Eitz. What would the bracha be? The Rashba doesn't tell us. He says it's not the same as the fruit. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass like Tosfos. The bracha on seeds is the same as the fruit. Bari Priya Eitz. The Mishnah Berurah cites the Vilna Gaon, who passes like the Rashba. This is halacha with regards to Arla. It's an exception to the rule. It's really not part of the fruit. And therefore, with regards to brachas, it should not be the same as the fruit. What would the bracha be? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Gaon, that the bracha should be Bari Priya Adama. So if you would eat an apple seed, the bracha would be Bari Priya Adama.
What if something's not Roi L'Achil L'Achil L'Achil?
If it's not Roi L'Achil, there's no bracha at all. So it's not food. It's not food. But if it's... No. The Rashba says this is halacha dafka by Arla. The bracha should be a bracha. It's edible. But the bracha is not Bari Priya Eitz. So something like Bari Priya Adama. The Mishnah Berurah, though, quotes another opinion. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't cite this on the side of the Mishnah Berurah. The Shari Tshuva quotes others. They know the bracha shak on the Yeb Devara. The bracha shak on the Yeb Devara.
Better than Eitz.
It's a fruit, it's part of the fruit, but it's not the primary fruit. So it should drop one bracha. We already mentioned such a rule. But if it's not what you had in mind at all when you were growing it, then the bracha should drop completely to Shahak on the Abedvaro. Why? Because that's not what you had in mind when you planted the fruit. What about seeds, though, that's exactly what you have in mind when you plant the fruit? So apple seeds or some other seed, if it's completely edible, the Shulchan Aruch would say, Bari Priya Eitz, and Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Gaon, we should pass like the Rashba, this is a law by Arla, Es HaTofel L'Piriyai, even to include the Garinim. But otherwise, it would not be the same as the fruit. It's only halacha by Arla. With regards to brachas, it would drop. Maybe Bari Priya Adama, maybe shahako, because that's really not what people have in mind when they plant the fruit. What if that's exactly what you have in mind? You have in Eretz Yisrael today a whole industry of seeds. Pumpkin seeds, those white seeds, I believe, are pumpkin seeds. Watermelon seeds. Certainly sunflower seeds. Huh? Yeah, sunflower. Yeah, watermelon seeds. There's a whole seed store over there. So that is the ikar. That's exactly what you have in mind when you plant these things. So then there's the Zayis HaBracha, that's a Sefer today, contemporary Sefer and Hilchos Brachos, right? So that's the main thing you have in mind when you plant it. So certainly we'd have the same bracha as the primary fruit. So those are plants. Watermelon is Bari Priya Adama. Pumpkin is Bari Priya Adama. Sunflowers is not a tree. So the bracha would be Bari Priya Adama. Wouldn't drop, though, to Shahakon Yabidvar, the bracha would be Bari Priya Adama. Correct. It's the only fruit. It's the only fruit. Well, they use it for oil, but the oil is extracted from the sunflower seed. So all of those would be Bari Priya Adama, would not be Shahakon Yabidvar. It should be Bari Priya Adama. No, because they grow pumpkins in Israel for the seeds. They don't grow it for the pumpkins. Yeah, they're not making Halloween there. Huh?
They grow for the seeds and the fruit.
If they grow up for the seeds, both would be Adama. Both would be Adama. They're growing it for both. Yeah. What's the pshat in Tosfos, though? Again, the Rashba made a compelling argument. The Rashba said, no, this is halacha by Arla. Es HaTofel L'Piriyai comes to Kudah, which is negligible to the fruit, and that's how seeds got in. That's why they're included in Arla. Why should that carry over to Hilchos Brachos? Tosfos obviously feels that it does. Why does Tosfos feel that it does? Is that because Tosfos feels that the seeds are part of the fruit itself? It's not because of Xeris HaKaz with regards to Arla. The fruit includes the seeds of the fruit too. Or maybe it's because Tosfos agrees with the argument of the Rashba. Just he disagrees. It was only included because of the Xeris HaKaz of Es HaTofel L'Piriyai. But Tosfos feels that Xeris HaKaz comes to teach me a halacha not only with regards to Arla, with regards to brachas too. What's the difference? The difference would be, what's the bracha on orange peels or the peel of a fruit? Peels are certainly only included in Arla because of the Xeris HaKaz of Es HaTofel L'Piriyai. So what does that mean? Is that, this is a halacha with regards to Arla? It's part of the fruit with regards to Arla? Maybe, what that Xeris HaKaz comes to teach me is that this is part of the fruit, not only with regards to Arla, with regards to other halachas as well. What would Tosfos feel the bracha would be on orange peels or other peels of fruits? So that's a big machlekes, the Taz and the Magen Avraham. It's really a machlekes how to understand this Tosfos with regards to seeds. Why are seeds included in the bracha? Is it because the seed is part of the fruit? Or because Tosfos has a more expansive view of this drasha as a tough of the period that applies not only with regards to Arla, it applies to Kol HaTorah Kula as well, and maybe even to Hilchas Bracha. So the opinion of the Taz is that no. Tosfos felt the garinim are part of the fruit. The shell, though, the peel, that's not part of the fruit. That's only a xeris hakas with regards to all that's included in Arla. And therefore, the bracha on orange peels would be shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. The Magen Avraham disagrees, and he felt, no, Tosfos agreed with the Rashba's assumption that the seeds are only included because of the xeris hakas. But Tosfos understood that xeris hakas was not limited to Arla. It was applies to other areas of halacha too. And therefore, with regards to orange peels or peels of fruits in general, which are only included because of the xeris hakas, the bracha, you know, that would expand not only, be true not only with regards to Arla, but with regards to the Hilchos Brachos too, that it's part of the fruit. And therefore, the bracha should be Bari Priya Eitz. The Magen Avraham feels that the bracha on orange peels would be Bari Priya Eitz. The Eliyahu Rabbah argues that now, with all of them, that it's not Bari Priya Dama, it's not Bari Priya Eitz, it's Shakol Niyeh B'Dvaro, because it's not a normal thing to plant. And people don't plant, it's not a normal thing to eat. People don't plant the oranges to eat the orange peel. They plant it to eat the oranges. And I think that depends on time and place. Some places and time, they used to eat the orange peels. It was a devil game, so there's still. Yeah. So if it's common to eat it that way, or in a place where that's common, then you'd have a big machlokes as the Taz and the Magen Avraham what bracha to make. You might either way have to make Shakol Niyeh B'Dvaro, because you're not sure what bracha to make. But today, Rabbi Forrest and others, contemporary Paiskim and Hilchos Brachos, right, then most people don't plant the oranges having in mind the orange peel. Even though there are a few people, I guess, who eat chocolate-covered orange peels, and therefore it should drop to be shehak on the Yabba Dvaro, either way. Either way.
Huh? I never saw someone eating it without the chocolate.
But I'm sure there were times and places where it was.
The chocolate.
Huh?
The
Iker
is the chocolate.
Iker is the chocolate.
It's a hefe timsa.
What's the
Iker?
What's the Iker?
What about Bracha Achrona? Is truly enough to mean a Bracha Achrona with it?
You have to say Safek Bracha Zakua.
No, but if you, let's have a grape and you eat the seed with it, so if you hold that as part of the grape, then that makes the Bracha Achrona with
it. Could be part of the shear for Bracha Achrona.
Right.
Yeah.
So, would there be an Afkamina?
Yeah, it could be another Afkamina. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's the story with regards to seals and seeds and the peels. But what comes up over here in the Gemara, which is why this daf is known throughout Shas. You're saying like the Magen Avraham. It's a Raya. Oh, very good, very good. I don't know. Is it Dibra Maso? Is the Tosfos? I guess so, yeah. Okay, very good. Very good. I don't know. It's a nice deal. Over here, in the course of this discussion, though, the Gemara brought up a Mishnah, Masechtas Shviyas, which asks, "May emasai and koitzes and iganes b'shviyas." When is it considered to be a fruit tree that you cannot destroy it during Shviyas and would be a problem because of la'ach of eloi lehefsin? So the Gemara said, with regards to certain buxer, it's at this time. With regards to grapes, it's at this time. And with regards to olives, it's at this time. And the Gemara said, with regards to all other fruits, all other fruit trees, it's when it starts to produce fruit. Mishiyotziu. Ask Taisa Kasha, though, why is it only a problem to destroy the tree after it starts to produce fruit? It sounds like there's no problem destroying the fruit tree until it starts to produce fruit, and then I have a problem because, only during the Shnas HaShemitah. But otherwise, we're not beef for the Shnas HaShemitah. I could destroy trees indiscriminately. Tosfos says, you can't destroy trees ever. Why is the Gemara asking? Why is the Mishnah asking? When can I not? When would the tree, when can I not cut down the tree during the Shnas HaShemitah because of La'ach of La'ef? So you can't cut down fruit trees even not during the Shnas HaShemitah because of the problem of Baltashkas. The Pasuk says in Parasha Shoiftim that when you lay siege around the city, Lo'isashkas as Eitzu, you should not destroy the fruit trees that are around it, kimimenu toichal, rather you should eat from the trees. What are you doing battle with the trees? Do you think that the Pasuk is asking a rhetorical question? Do you think that the people are trees? That the trees are people? You're not doing battle with the trees. Why in the world would you cut down the tree? The only tree you can cut down is if it's a tree that you know is not a fruit tree. But if it is a fruit tree, you're not allowed to cut it down. So Tosfos asks a question. Vim Toima, the second Tosfos, Beloi Shviyas Nami. You're not allowed to destroy a fruit tree. This halacha about Tashas is not only with regards to fruit trees. The Rishonim, based on the Gemara, expanded to all resources. You're not allowed to waste the resources indiscriminately for no reason. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kiddushin at the end of the first parak that Rabbi Huna tested Rabbi his son's dedication to Kibbutz Aviyim. So the Gemara says that he took expensive things that were in the house that his son knew he was going to yarshin, you know, after he passed away, Achamei Ve'esim, and he started destroying them. He started just throwing them on the ground to see how his son would react to him destroying the Yerusha, to test his Kibbutz Aviyim. So the Gemara asks, how is he allowed to do that? It's Lefnei Evil, it's Itein Michshol, it's entrapment. So the Gemara says, no, he was going to be Michael him. Even if he lost his cool, he was going to be Michael him. So there was no Kibbutz Aviyim violation. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's Bal Tashchis. You're destroying things for no good reason. So it sounds like, from that Gemara, that to destroy things, anything, even though it's not a fruit tree, would be subject to prohibition of Bal Tashchis. And the Rambam writes like that in Hilchos Melachim, Bal Tashchis extends not only to fruit trees, but to all resources. One is not allowed to waste them. Whether that extension is D'oraisa, the Rabbanan, a whole subject, a whole dispute in the Rishonim, the Achrayim. Yeah. So it's a tour of the garment. So it applies to everything. Whether that's the rice of the Rabbanan is a machlekes, but either way, Bal Tashchis, is a general principle. So why does how did the Gemara, the Mishnah, really ask, when can you destroy fruit trees during the Shnas HaShemitah? You can't destroy fruit trees even if it's not during the Shnas HaShemitah because of the problem of Bal Tashchis. So Tosfos here gives a few answers. It's really just based on the Gemara Bava Kamma. The Gemara Bava Kamma has a few exceptions to this rule of Bal Tashchis, that one is not allowed to destroy a fruit tree or any resources. The Gemara says, if the tree is being mazik, another tree, then it's permitted to destroy the first tree. The Gemara there tells a story that Shmuel had. The Gemara there has a story that Shmuel had a sharecropper who brought him. Shmuel had a farm, and the sharecropper to take care of the farm. One of the items that he had on his farm was dates. So Shmuel asked the sharecropper to bring him dates from his own farm. He came, he brought him the dates, and when he ate the dates, it tasted like wine, or grapes. So he said to the sharecropper, why does it taste like wine? So he said, because the date tree is growing in the middle of a vineyard. So he said, from the fact that the flavor is being transferred from the grapes to the tamarim, to the dates, from the grapes to the dates, I see that the date tree is affecting the vineyard. And in the end of the day, it's going to sap away some of its nutrients. So he said, you know what, we have to remove the date tree because it's affecting adversely the vineyard. So you see from that Gemara, the one is allowed to remove the tree if it's being mazik. If it's being mazik the tree, or if it's being mazik a house, let's say a person has a tree and the roots are digging into the house, the Raj was a tshuva, then you can remove the tree. Even if it's hanging over and it's creating, there's squirrels that are getting on the roof, or it's creating moss on the roof, or even if a person just wants sunlight and the tree is blocking out all of the light, one is allowed to remove the tree under that circumstance because it's considered to be a mazik. That's one exception the Gemara has. The Gemara has another exception if the tree is not that productive, such that it's yetzeschar b'efseido, it's more trouble to take care of the tree than it's worth. So if it doesn't produce a proper or worthwhile amount of fruit, so then you could destroy the tree. It takes more effort than it's worth. Huh? Very subjective. So the Ksav HaKabbalah, actually, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, reads that into the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Rak Eitz Asher Teida Ki Loi Eitz Machohu. Only a tree that you know does not produce fruit can you destroy. Why does the Torah say Rak Eitz Asher Teida? It sounds like you're making an investigation, a scientific experiment. What do you mean, that you know? It either produces fruit or it doesn't produce fruit. What is that Rak Eitz Asher Teida? So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, no, because it requires a calculation, even if it does produce fruits. But if the fruits are not worth, in terms of how much investment it is to take care of it and the trouble, then one can remove the tree because it's Yotzeschar Bav Seida. That's why contemporary Paiskim say, if a tree produces an acorn, let's say, that's not edible to human beings. That's not considered to be a fruit tree, even though animals eat it. But let's say it is edible to human beings, but no, they don't sell this kind of fruit in this store because it's so inferior. It's so, people wouldn't buy it. So many Paiskim are of the opinion, I heard like that from David Feinstein, others of Tzvi Goldstein, Talmidim of Ramesha, they all say that if it's not, again, you couldn't sell it in the store, then by definition, the tree is more trouble than it's worth. Crab apples, or sometimes they have these little berries. Maybe in theory it's not poisonous. It is edible to human beings, but it's too much trouble, so then you can remove the tree. So too over here.
Trees could be diseased.
Oh, if the tree is diseased, so then...
Well, you might not know that unless it doesn't... That's why maybe you have to wait for the fruit to show up.
I'm sorry, so what does the fruit tell you?
That it produces the fruit. Otherwise, maybe it will never produce the fruit. Isn't one of the shitas that you have to wait for the fruit to see the fruit?
That's for Shvius. So the question is, even if it doesn't produce any fruit, even if it doesn't produce any fruit, it's Bal Tashchis. It's Bal Tashchis to destroy a fruit tree in the middle of the winter when there's no fruits, because it's a fruit tree. So that's what Tysus is bothered with. Why is the Gemara talking about during Shviyas? Once it produces fruit, you can't destroy it. It's la'achav v'lo la'hefzed. Shviyas produce is supposed to be eaten, not destroyed. You can't destroy it any time of the year, during any year of the Shemitah cycle, because it's a fruit tree. You can never destroy it. So the first teretz Tysus has is v'yesh loymar, on the third line of Tysus, deloy ton kava. We're talking about a tree that doesn't produce a kava of fruits, meaning it's not worthwhile. Deloy shayach beloy sashris. Kadizu perkol yachbar. Zigmar says in the Baba Basra, it's also in Gemara Baba Kama. It's not worth the trouble to take care of the tree. Another case where you could destroy a fruit tree is if it's me'ula bedamim. If it's worth more as wood than it is as a fruit tree, then the fruits are worth. Again, you know, it's a kind of a yatzis chareb efseidu. I'd rather chop it down because the wood is more valuable. So that's another case you could destroy the fruit tree. So Tosfos says over here, inami, or maybe, iri de me'ula bedamim, lasos mimena kairos. You'd rather make from it boards. Da azlo shayach lois ashkes. And therefore, about ashkes, would not apply. Umiu, but therefore, but you do have to still be concerned, even though the problem of Baltash could be sidestepped, because maybe we're talking about a fruit that's not that productive or it's more valuable as wood. Mishumi surah de shviyas, ikala ach v'loy l'scharo v'loy l'hefzid. That's where, you know, when the Mishnah brought up the problem of it's supposed to be eaten, it's not supposed to be destroyed or sold. The Rishonim and the Achrayim are very busy, though, with two Teirutzim that Tosfos did not mention. There are two exceptions that some Rishonim have that Tosfos does not say, and from the fact that Tosfos is reticent about them, it seems to be that Tosfos disagrees with them. He left them out on purpose. One is one possible explanation that Tosfos could have offered that he did not is offered by the Rush. The Rush in Masechtas Bava Kama says if the tree, let's say the tree is not being mazik, the tree is not more trouble than it's worth, it's not more valuable as wood, but I want the space. I want the space to build an extension to my home. So the Rush's view is, well, then you could remove the tree. Tosfos did not say, well, I need the space for my extension, for my pool, outhouse, whatever. Tosfos didn't say that. Why not? So the Achrayim say that must be because Tosfos, in the and the Binyan Tzion, must be because Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos doesn't hold to the Rosh, that even if I need the space, you cannot destroy the fruit tree. Why would you not be able to destroy the fruit tree just because I need the space? So the Achrayim explain that the Rishonim over here perhaps are arguing about what is the nature of Baltashis in the first place. Well, why can't you destroy a fruit tree or other resources? So the Ramban has an addendum to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs where he counts a few Mitzvahs Aseh as well as Mitzvahs Lois Aseh that he feels the Rambam left out of his list. So one of the Mitzvahs Aseh that he has is not only is there a prohibition to destroy a fruit tree, there's also a mitzvah sase to eat from the fruit tree. Ki mimenu toichal, the pasuk says you shouldn't destroy the tree. Ki mimenu toichal, you should eat from it. The Rambam does not count that as a mitzvah sase to eat from fruit trees. The Ramban does. So it sounds like the reason why you cannot destroy a fruit tree is not necessarily because you're destroying the tree, but rather it's because I'm forfeiting an opportunity to eat from the tree, which is a mitzvah sase. So the Netziv, in his Hamek Dover, in his commentary on that pasuk in Parashat Shoif, the Machumish explains that perhaps what Baal Tashkis is really about is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is offering us something we could benefit from, and by destroying the tree, I'm forfeiting, I'm discarding, disregarding that you know that potential avenue to enjoy the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us. In that sense, it's similar to the Gemara Nazir and elsewhere, familiar with that the Nazir has to bring a carbon at the end of his period of Nazirus because the Gemara explains he performed an Aveira. What sin did he do? He has to bring a carbon chatos because Hashem gave us grapes, gave us wine to enjoy the world, and here he is discarding or prohibiting himself from drinking that wine. So Hashem is offering us something and he's turning it down. That's not nice. Hashem gave us the world to enjoy, not to abstain from. That quote in the name of Hirsch. Rav Hirsch felt that for that reason that you should enjoy the scenes of the world, you know, that the landscapes, the beautiful landscapes like the Swiss Alps, maybe the Grand Canyon. Hashem will ask you at the end of your life, did you enjoy the Swiss Alps or did you enjoy the Grand Canyon? It's an interesting quote from Rav Hirsch. The Gemara tells us Hashem will ask us, or based in Shomayla, will ask us six questions we know about. Nasatim nasatim be'emuna, kavata itim l'tayra. I presume a person will be asked whether he learned Masechtos Ksuvos, Bava Basra, Bava Kama, even Kadshim, before he's asked about the Alps and the Grand Canyon. So I think the Alps and the Grand Canyon are important. They're not in the Shisha Shidre Mishnah or part of Shas. When you're done with all that, yeah, so then maybe, you know, the extra credit on the test might be the Alps or the Grand Canyon, but I think Bava Basra and Ksuvos are more important. But either way, Hashem gave us the world to enjoy, and Baal Tashkis perhaps is a person, you know, turning down that gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Rambam does not bring the mitzvah sase at all. The Rambam feels that the prohibition of destroying a fruit tree or other resources is because, simply because you're destroying the tree, a person is acting in a destructive fashion. And that's the way the Sefer HaChinuch defines the prohibition of Baal Tashkis, is because you're acting in a destructive fashion. You're destroying things.
even an Elon Srak?
No, so Elon Srak is not a resource. You're not destroying a resource.
Yeah,
but it's not a resource. It's not a resource. But to destroy resources is an act of destruction. That's why some people, Chalamoid and other times, like to go to these rage rooms where you take a bat and you just smash tables and chairs and old computers. If it's garbage and you're smashing what is already garbage and they put together the same tables every time and the same chairs every time and it's old computers that they took off the the garbage dump, so then you're destroying garbage. I don't think there's any area of concern. If it's a real table and chair that they buy and they destroy and then buy new tables and chairs, it seems to me to be baltashas. But you'll say, but it lets off steam. It gives me an outlet. I'm calmer after. The Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, a person who tears garments, who throws the vase at the wall, in a rage of chaos, is kilo oved avodah zarah. He let chaos get the better of himself. We have to be in control of our midas. Huh? Okay. But to destroy it in a fit of rage, I think shows a lack of control. Yeah.
There used to be a bar that after you drank the cup, you could throw it and break it. So that's no.
I don't think so. No. It's not a Yiddish shizach. No. That's what the whole prohibition about tashas is coming to circumscribe. So anyway, it could be getting back that's what the Rishonim here are arguing about. When I destroy a fruit tree because I need its space, so that is an act of destruction. At the same time, I'm not doing it because I don't want to benefit from the world. I want to benefit from this parcel of land in a more productive fashion by building an extension to my house. I'm not saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, thank you, but no thank you. I say thank you, but I can do more with this resource than just the tree. So then it would be permitted. Tosfos does not bring up that answer because perhaps Tosfos disagrees with the Rosh. Tosfos feels that what the nature of the prohibition of Baal Tashas is about is not turning down a resource that Kadosh Baruch Hu offered me, because here I might be able to do something more productive with this space. It's because I'm engaging in an act of destruction. That's perhaps why Tosfos also failed to offer an answer that was provided by the Me'iri. The Me'iri here in the Chidushim gives another terrace to Tosfos, potential answer to Tosfos' question, is we're not talking about you destroyed the whole tree, you destroyed a leaf, a branch of the tree. That's when the Gemara brought up that the only concern is because of that of Shvius. The only time you violate Baal Tashas is if you destroy the whole tree. If I cut off one branch from the tree, if you're pruning the tree because it's healthy for the tree, that's taking care of the tree. But if I'm destroying a branch from the tree, which it otherwise, was a healthy limb, and I'm destroying it, so the Me'iri comes, that's not Baal Tashas, it's only Baal Tashas to destroy the entire tree. Why? Because the tree is still available for me to enjoy. I haven't turned down an avenue of enjoyment that Kadosh Baruch Hu offered me. Tosfos doesn't give that answer, again, perhaps precisely because Tosfos feels the prohibition of Baal Tashas is not because I'm turning down an opportunity to enjoy the world that Hashem has offered me, it's rather because I'm engaging in an act of destruction. And cutting off a branch of the tree is just as much an act of destruction as cutting off or destroying the tree in its entirety. And perhaps that's why Tosfos did not give the answer of the Rosh, did not give the answer of the Me'iri, that we're focused on Shvius and not on Baal Tashas because I need the space, or because I'm only cutting off one branch. For Tosfos, those things would not be an acceptable reason to destroy the fruit tree.
Taking off leaves from an eight tree, according to this, would be problematic. Even if it doesn't affect the fruit-bearing capacity of the tree, because it's an act of destruction. It happened to be in a...
Right. It comes up if a person's building a sukkah underneath a fruit tree. So you have to cut off some branches that would otherwise be healthy for the tree. So you have to, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi quotes this machlekes, the Tosfos in the Me'iri. Can I prune a fruit tree that's hanging over my sukkah? So I'm not destroying the whole tree, I'm cutting off a branch. It's a whole deal. There is, though, there are times that it's permitted to destroy a fruit tree. If it's being mazik, if I need the space, it's worth more. It's more trouble than it's worth. It's worth more as boards and all those things. But there is a sakana that's involved. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that a person who destroyed a fruit tree, and because of the, before its time, was still productive, and because of that, he suffered the loss of a child, lo aleinu. Or the Gemara says in Psachim that a person who destroys trees, ain't a roi simen bracha, will never see a simen bracha. So the Gemara has its not only a prohibition, it's a sakana that's involved. So that's why people handle this prohibition with a lot of care. Well, maybe when the halacha says it's permitted, the sakana doesn't apply either. Probably the sakana and the issur should go together. If you violate something by taking down the tree, then there's a sakana as well as a prohibition. What if it's permitted? So then should the sakana still apply? So in the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, there are many hanhoges Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wanted to pass down to his children. Many of them are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Some of them are more peculiar, though. All presumed to be something having to do with danger. And Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid quotes this as part of his Tzavah, not to destroy a fruit tree. So the Achrayim, the commentators on the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, ask, why would he include destroying a fruit tree in his tzavo, like this is something that's unique to his family. This is a halacha that's on the books. You can't destroy a fruit tree. So Yaakov Enden says, no, because even if the halacha permits it, the danger still exists. So that's why people are very nervous about destroying fruit trees. Others feel, no, it goes together with the halacha. If halacha says you can destroy it for one of the reasons we mentioned, then the sakana doesn't exist either. You don't have to be worried about it. But there are some who are concerned about it. So that's why typically people handle fruit trees with a lot of care. The reason why we're concerned about the tree is because the pasuk asks rhetorically, Kia other mates saw that is a tree a person? You're doing war with the tree? Just because you're laying siege to the city, why would you destroy the tree? But the pasuk might be taken, no, as a statement, not as a rhetorical question. Ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, a person is like the tree. Destroy trees, it could lead a person to harming himself, chas v'shalom. And therefore, we handle destroying fruit trees with a lot of care. Even when the halacha says it's permitted, we typically sell it to a nachri or ask the person we're buying the property from to clear the trees before we buy it and somehow to avoid being directly involved with destroying the fruit tree.